Testing. Okay. Lord, be with us today. I pray that you would open your word to us and that you would move in every heart by the Ruach HaKodesh so that no one here would be apart from you. No family represented would be without you in this walk, in this world. We just look to you. Fill us afresh with your Spirit and glorify your great name here, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. I really felt good that Yvonne is able to present us with that beautiful, those beautiful songs. It really encourages me. So I'm talking to you today on the family of God, theory or fact. I was driving in my car on Thursday, and I heard the strangest thing on the newscast. It's something you don't expect to hear on a newscast, but it came across the air, and the newscaster said, there are many millionaires in the United States. Would you like to know what they have in common? Most of them sleep at least 7 hours a night. That's unusual. And they all participate in daily exercise. That's not what you expect to hear about millionaires. So when my son Joel came to visit us that night, I said, Joel, what do you think millionaires have in common? He said, he's always for logic. He said, I think millionaires would have in common money. That's logical. But, you know, you ask the question, what would true believers have in common? Oh, well, we compare our denominational statement and we would agree. And we wouldn't fight over ethnicity, and they would name any number of things. But here's what the Word says. As the Father has loved me, this is Yeshua talking in John chapter 15, verses, starting at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. He's talking about how we can have real joy, not mirth when you go to a good movie or see some entertainment that you get a high on and then after a few days it's all gone. But he's talking about real joy. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. He's talking about real joy, not mirth. My command is this. Now listen to this. Love each other as I have loved you. This is what we're supposed to have in common. Yeshua love. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Yeshua is saying, that's how my love is expressed to you. I will lay down my life for you. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. He's really talking about, I think, the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, manifested as joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what it is. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. True godly love will not only help those around you that you are to be loving, but it will last. It won't be something that'll go by the boards. It will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. With Yeshua love, that we would be willing to lay down our lives for each other. That's why I'm saying the body of Yeshua is called the family of God. And we're to function like a loving family. A lot of families are on the outs. We've watched that happen. We have some dear friends who were neighbors for decades, and there's a divorce coming in. And I can't tell you how sad I feel every time I hear about a divorce. Right in our own family, we've had divorce. And when we had it, I'm not ashamed to admit it, I cried all day. I couldn't stop crying because it seems like divorce seems like such a tragedy. Loving one another is not a tragedy. Loving one another is life. And Yeshua said, this is the sign that we are the family of God. Yeshua love for one another. I think it would make us realize when our brothers and sisters have a need, we come to their aid. Now the Jewish people celebrate a holiday called Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. It's on the 50th day after the Passover Sabbath. And for this reason, it was also referred to as Pentecost, the Greek word meaning 50. I took these notes down on this holiday because I think they're really important, because you know what this represents? The birth of the New Covenant congregation. The birth of the New Covenant congregation wasn't about denominations and I'm more correct than you and let's argue about this or let's part if we don't agree. That's not in the beginning, is it? And so originally the Feast of Weeks was a Thanksgiving festival. In fact, scholars say that's where the early settlers in the United States got the idea of Thanksgiving, from the scriptures, mainly from this holiday. It was a Thanksgiving festival in which Israel expressed its appreciation to God for the first fruits of the wheat harvest. That's what it represented, the wheat harvest. And after the Jewish people became dispersed among the nations, Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, changed its original emphasis as a harvest festival and became known as, in Hebrew, Zaman Matan Toratenu, the time of the giving of our law. So, in a sense, it became the birth of Judaism, Shavuot. Became the birth of Judaism, the time of the giving of the law. By calculation, ancient rabbis, the Jewish religious leaders came to the conclusion that Adonai, the God of Israel, gave Torah, the law of Moses, to Israel on Shavuot, the day of Pentecost. Hence, Pentecost, Shavuot, is considered the birth of Judaism. Now, maybe you can see what's coming. Before his ascension into heaven, Yeshua the Messiah commanded his Talmidim, his disciples, to wait in Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high, the Ruach HaKodesh. Believers are supposed to walk in power.
Amen.
And you know, if we realize that we need more of the Spirit, and we don't have the Spirit the way we should, the Holy Spirit. These things of the Spirit aren't working out in our lives. There isn't the love for God there should be. There isn't the love for those around us. He told us to do only one thing. And it wasn't like super outward things like rolling on the floor and foaming at the mouth or something weird. It was only one thing he told us to do. Do you remember what it was? If you lack the Spirit, what do you do?
Ask.
Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. You ask. So the disciples, he commanded his disciples to go back in Jerusalem, to Jerusalem, and do one thing. What did he tell them?
Wait.
He didn't tell them, now this is going to happen on Shavuot, on Pentecost. They didn't know what was going to happen. Go back and wait. And he says you're going to wait for the promise of the Father. The disciples waited 49 days after Yeshua's resurrection, even as the Jewish people waited 49 days from Passover to Shavuot, or Pentecost. Note that Yeshua didn't tell the disciples that on this anniversary of the birth of Judaism, it would become the anniversary of the New Covenant, the beginning of the New Covenant congregation. But that's exactly what happened. When the Holy Spirit filled the disciples, the God-fearing Jews who were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Week heard the disciples, each in his own language, declaring the wonders of God. Peter then arose and preached a powerful sermon on Yeshua's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, closing with the following words and witnessing the dynamic results as recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. Listen to these results. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Yeshua, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Now, some of these people perhaps were the same people who said, crucify him. And now the Spirit of God moves and they say, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. That is perhaps one of the most, if not the most valuable gift you could receive in life. It would make the difference between your walking around in death spiritually are your being alive and being a blessing, not only to your family, but to everybody around you. That's the difference, the Ruach HaKodesh. People can have religion without the Ruach HaKodesh, without the Holy Spirit, and it's as dead as a doornail. And a lot of people are going through these forms. They think they have religion, but there's a big difference between having religion and having the Spirit of God in your life. Religion can be just motions, just saying, I believe in this doctrine. But to have the Holy Spirit is to have life and to have love, both for your brothers and sisters in the body and for the people around you. When you see a person outside of the body in need, if you have the Holy Spirit, your heart says, how can I help this person? I don't care about his ethnicity or his racial group or anything. Listen, when I got out of service, I was hired by an African-American advertising and public relations firm. One of the men who worked with me was Sam Logan, who became the publisher of the main black newspaper in this area, the Michigan Chronicle. And my bosses were Seymour, Leatherwood, and Cleveland, all African Americans, and I love these people. We had a wonderful relationship. And I can tell you that when you get next to people that you love, their ethnicity or their racial group is not important. Love isn't limited by racial or ethnicity, especially the love of Yeshua. So it says that Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, so that your sins may be forgiven. That's the thing that's separating us. It's not ethnicity or racial group. What separates us, if there isn't love, is sin. And Yeshua takes care of that. Now, you who come here who are different ethnicity from me or a different racial group, if you know the Lord and we're walking together, we're one.
Amen.
And for those outside of the kingdom, I want to know, how can I extend myself so that they know the Lord and Messiah that I know? What can I do for them? Not point fingers and say, this is wrong and that's wrong and the other's wrong. That's not what it's all about. As far as Yeshua was concerned, it was all about love. And do you want to know what kind of relationship he said we should have in the body? If you want to read the real Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer is not the disciples' prayer that he taught us. The Lord's Prayer is found in the 17th of John. And here's what he prayed about us. That you and I, irrespective of ethnicity or racial group or anything like that, would be one as he and the Father are one. Now talk about oneness. He told Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He told the Jews at Hanukkah, I and the Father are Echad, we're one. So we are supposed to be one spiritually the way Yeshua and the Father are one. Think about that. Isn't that powerful? We wouldn't be going around hating each other and pointing fingers and saying, you're less than I because you aren't of the same racial group or ethnic group. You don't have the same church that I go to or synagogue. That's not what it's all about. And this about Peter. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call, that if they repent and are immersed in Yeshua's name, they will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off. Do you know we're born afar off? We're not born following the Lord. In fact, after David committed adultery and had the husband of the woman he committed adultery with killed, he tells how we're born. Psalm 51, verse 5. In sin did my mother conceive me. Whether people want to admit it or not, we're born apart from God in sin. Every one of us has to have a new birth, has to have a spiritual birth. And he said to Nicodemus, who was part of the Jewish high court, the Sanhedrin, and who said, you have to be a teacher come from God. I and other rabbis see this. He said, you must be born again of water and the Spirit. It's a divine imperative that everyone who comes into the world who is apart from God, that's everyone, be born of the Spirit. Be immersed, bury the old nature, come up, receive the Spirit, and live for the glory of God. If we're living for other than the glory of God, something is wrong. Something is wrong. So Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. With many other words, he warned them. He pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. You know, we could say that here. Look, any world that's geared towards the new bomb and guided missile to blow more and more people apart belongs to a corrupt generation. And the only answer for deliverance in the midst of that is come to the Messiah. Bury the old nature in the water of baptism. Receive God's Spirit and be raised to a new life. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Listen, if you had any experience in talking to our Jewish people about Yeshua, you can tell what a miracle that was, right? That is a miracle. Listen, a lot was done in the name of Christianity to the Jewish people that wasn't Christianity, that wasn't Yeshua. It may be outward Christianity. By the way, there's no such word in the New Testament. It may be outward Christianity, but it's not Yeshua. When you kill people and abuse them, and say, that's from Yeshua. That's not from Yeshua. Yeshua is not about hate and killing. He's about love and forgiveness. He's about love and forgiveness. And what is the sign that they were transformed? They devoted themselves. See, a lot of people maybe go to church to get it over with and feel that they've done something, get their conscience clear. But that's not what love and devotion is all about. They devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to the fellowship. You mean that means I love those people I'm with. And I want more people to know about the love of Yeshua, and I'm going to tell them about it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. I see people around me and I say, oh, that's too bad. I'll pray for him. And that's as far as it'll go, you know. But it says they gave to anyone as he had need. And I'm really concerned about our giving, that we as a congregation don't want to be just all about begging for funds and not caring about the persons among us who are needy. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They loved the Lord, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And it repeats this in other words, in Acts 4, 32 through 35, all the believers were one in heart and mind. They didn't say, let's make a new denomination because we don't agree with these people. Let's leave them and go home. He offended me. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Yeshua. Much grace was with them, with them all. There were no needy persons among them. We are going to arise, hopefully, in this congregation, that when we hear of needy people, we're going to reach out. For from time to time, those who owned lands and houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. You know, it's interesting because when the Apostle Paul talked about giving. If you want to read about the New Testament spirit of giving, read 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. That's about giving. Now listen to what Paul says when he starts out in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians on giving. He says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Listen to the grace, what it means, the unmerited favor of God. Listen to how it expressed itself. The Macedonian church, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. Hey, wait, what about the health and wealth teachers who would say, if you come to the Lord, you'll be at the top of the riches. These people were experiencing extreme poverty, welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. You say, gosh, were all the early believing bodies like that? Well, I'm sorry to say no, because if you read in Revelation, he mentioned 7 churches in Asia Minor, and there are only 2 out of the 7 that Yeshua had no complaint about. That was Smyrna and Philadelphia. The rest of them, he had to warn that if they didn't get these sins right in their midst, he was going to take their testimony away from them. So it wasn't that everybody who named the name of the Lord in the first century was so pure. The Lord had to warn people too. Listen, when the Lord comes to the world, he's dealing with a fallen race. He's got the challenge of calling a fallen race back to God, their Creator. And that's a big challenge, but only the power of the Holy Spirit can transform people. So I'm telling you, if you've never known what it is to be born again of the Spirit, it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. To be judged for the deeds done in the body, whether good or evil. So there are going to be those that the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your Lord. You've been faithful in a few things, I'll make you Lord over many. And there are others that he might say, you're fired. Did you ever hear that? Yeah. You can be glorious here and fired over there. You know, the world standards are not the same one Yeshua used. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the mind to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. And believe me, the Lord knows everything about every one of us. I say, Lord, help us. Help us to get right here so we can spend eternity with him there. And listen, it has nothing to do with racial group or ethnicity or anything like that. It's what's in the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the mind to give to every man and woman according to his or her ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promises to you, and to your children, and to all who are afar off. Who's afar off, Lord? Everybody that comes into the world until they meet Yeshua and is born again is afar off. That includes the way I was born, the way you were born, the way David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. You must be born again. It's a divine imperative. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we have a God who became our Savior, our Deliverer. Lord, we never feel, even walking with you, that we get to that place where there doesn't need to be a change. I just know that the whole time we're this side of eternity, there's need for change in me and in those around me. Lord, move by your Spirit so that we will know that change and know the joy of living for you, of working in your kingdom, and of living with you eternally. Lord, let no person here or any family represented be apart from you when the day of reckoning comes. Thank you for your love and forgiveness. And Lord, we pray that you would meet the need of everyone in Yeshua's name. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace.